Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hello, Creepies, and welcome to episode 112. Nate is your sound engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What is going on, guys?
All good.
Are these on?
They're on.
Did that stump you?
A little bit.
You ever seen anybody
He normally goes first, so I was waiting, but then he wasn't going, so I thought
we did it.
Good.
I was like,
you're awake, Nate.
I was trying to be polite and think, maybe I should let Nate go first this time.
But you got to let me know.
I know, like touching my nose or something.
What we have here is a failure to communicate.
Doing great.
Good.
Doing great to
good.
Answer your question.
Good, Nate.
Fantastic movie, by the way, you're quoting.
I'm just talking to Nate now. Nate, what are you saying over there?
I said that's a fantastic movie you're quoting over there, Cool Hand Luke.
Yeah, great movie.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah, you guys are doing good? Good.
Mm-hmm. We're going and doing good.
Going good, and are we going to record good? I don't know.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah, we're back. We're out of the elements. So we're back in the studio.
Since we have crazy day, what is today? Sunday. Okay, we're doing Sunday.
Last day of April.
Sunday. It is
31st.
Right yeah.
Now this will
30th.
30th. Yeah.
Yeah. 30th.
There's no 30th.
Sorry. Oh, that's okay.
I was thinking about it. Tomorrow.
Regardless, it is the last day of April.
That's right.
Either way, 30, May 31. 1st. Who's counting?
That's what, I don't
know. Calendar's so weird anyway, right?
That is weird.
Count your knuckles.
Dracula counts. No. I had a great week and a good weekend. So, weather was nice.
Mm-hmm.
Elijah
mm-hmm.
won a soccer game over rival, heated rival.
Nice.
West Side United. Boy, I tell you, those guys.
I thought you were going to say the Patriots.
No, they're like the Patriots, so right? They're thorn on our side. Heated. Them and Tri-West Soccer Club. No, it was good though. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. It is weird to record on a Sunday though. We've done in the past, but not in a while.
Yeah.
Last weekend was a Saturday outside.
Yours truly with the goofy schedule.
Yeah. That's all right. I didn't want to mention it, to be honest with you. I didn't want to say.
Mucking it all up, but we don't mind.
Yeah.
We're talking about doing Wednesday again, right? We're going to try to sneak back into a little bit of a...
Yeah, we'll see if we get back to normality.
Normalcy. We'll see about the normalcy.
Well, yeah, you know what? That's the only thing that's... Wait a minute. Hold on. It's normal not to be normal.
Abby normal.
Yeah, Abby normal.
Unique.
Abby somebody. Abby normal. Well, we are glad to be at the mics, and we are glad that the creepies are listening, wherever they might be, and whenever they are listening to this. So, you know what we're going to do right now?
I do.
Nate, I sense some sarcasm, some, you know, you sounded,
there's a little dark,
I know you're excited.
There's a little darkness there, wasn't there?
It's the dad joke dark side. No, it's dad joke of the show, and I'm going to change it up a little bit. This is going to be a riddle.
I like
okay?
it.
Still, you're just straight dad joke. So here is the question. The more you take, the more you leave behind. What am I?
The more you take, the more you leave behind.
Yes, sir.
I can only think
and
of
I can
like,
hear the creepy.
I can only think
I've
of
heard
things
this
that
before.
Are inappropriate.
It's a family friendly show. No. The more you take, the more you leave behind. What am
time?
I? No, it is not.
Take time. No.
I've heard this before, but I can't remember.
John, you got it?
I don't know.
Creepies, whenever you're listening to this, I'm ready to say the answer. You might want to pause it in case you want to hear.
Keep guessing.
It is footsteps.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Yep.
And I'm like,
I think I've heard that one before too, but man, I couldn't think of it. And I was like,
yeah.
So there you go. Footsteps. The more you take, the more you leave
behind. Super easy. See, I always try to make it hard, you know?
Yeah. So there you go. That's the dad joke / riddle of the show.
Darkness.
/
riddle. Yeah.
It needs like Darth Vader's theme.
I like these riddles. I love riddles. I like them. Anyway.
Everybody needs some music to lighten their mood, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
First announcements.
Yes, I got those right here. First of all, we want you to know that this is a community for mental health. We are here, obviously, to bring you the creepy stuff and the paranormal and all that fun guy time that we have here. But we always want to give out resources to be able to get yourself help. So you can call or text the number 988 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you may be experiencing. Excuse me. Trip over by words. That never happens. You can also text HOME to 741-741. If you think you need professional counseling, please don't be afraid to do so. Also, it may take a few times to find the right counselor that is a good fit for you and your needs. We also occasionally, every time, talk about bullying and how to stop it, the need for stopping it, right? So visit stopbullying.gov to help you or someone you know who may be experiencing some sort of bullying. Also, reach out to our Facebook group, Instagram account, or message us as well for added support. That is what our Mako family is here to do.
Amen. Yes, it is.
And people use it, which is great.
Yeah, they do.
We've used it too, which I love.
Absolutely. Coming off of that, with the shout out and special announcement section, I actually have a shout out that kind of goes with what you just told our creepies about.
Very cool.
My boy, Elijah. Shout out to him. Let's see, it was Wednesday or Thursday. I think it was Thursday. Could not be any more proud of him. He, at school, I don't know if it was, I think it was in the hallway, or could have been, it's either like waiting on the bus or in the hallway. I can't remember. Anyway, there's a special needs kid that these kids came up and he had his books and papers in his hand and he was waiting. And they came by and a kid knocked all his stuff out of his hand and just, you know, laughing. And Elijah basically told him, you know, knock it off and it's not cool. And then, but then they ran away and, you know, laughing and stuff. But they knew that Elijah was going to stick up for him. And then he and his buddy Brady
helped him.
Brady's the brother of Brennan who says, you know, good job. So
yeah, right. That's right. Yeah,
both good kids. Anyway, so Elijah and Brady helped the kid pick up the papers and then helped, and then the teacher saw that and was helping, you know. And then Elijah said, yeah, tomorrow we get candy, or she's going to give us like a treat or something.
Very
for helping.
Cool.
Yeah. And made me feel good. He goes, well, that was not it. I go, what else you got? He goes, well, his buddy they were walking together, and a kid kept doing the flat tire, you know, like walking, step. Well, his buddy had the Yeezys, you know, expensive, nice shoes, you know, you don't want to get messed up or whatever. It kept doing that, and his friend said, stop, you know, tell him, knock it off, stop doing it. Wouldn't stop. So they're walking, and Elijah was kind of off to the side, I think, and the kid, like, kind of waited, and then he was going to run up and kick his buddy, and Elijah knew what was going to happen. So the kid ran up, and Elijah went right between them, and he said, like, go ahead, see what, you know, like, go ahead and try it and see what's going to happen. And the kid stopped, didn't do anything, and then just took off running, laughing. But I was like, oh, my gosh, I am so proud of you. Yeah, so same day.
There you go.
Yeah.
So don't visit stopbullying.gov. Just visit Elijah.
Oh, man.
He'll take care of it for you.
I cannot be more proud. I said, yeah. I was like,
good for him.
I said, that is what you do. You help out those who can't help themselves whatever they can. You stick up for each other. Don't tell those kids to knock it off because they don't expect anybody to step up.
Can't find the hero, be the hero.
So I was really proud of him.
Big love to Elijah then. That's very cool.
I was very, very proud of him.
You should be.
I told him, I said, anything you do great in sports or whatever, I said, awesome, but no, I'm more proud of you doing that. That shows character and you're sticking up for your friends.
That's awesome, man.
And the kid, he said the special needs kid, thanked them for helping pick up his papers. And he's like, no problem. And it made him feel good that he has somebody. Mm-hmm. That, yeah. So anyway, shout out to my boy.
Cool.
Yeah,
and I can almost guarantee you the people that are picking on people have been picked on or are picked on or beat or whatever at home. So it's a vicious cycle.
And unfortunately, like, it's not an excuse, but it's like the way they can lash out because they're probably getting crap at home.
It tends to be.
Anyway, that's my
shout out.
Needs
to be stopped, right? So,
yeah.
Good job, Elijah.
Yeah, thank you. So that's my, I don't know if you, Nate, Sean, you have any shout outs?
I don't. I normally do. I think I'm good over here.
I have one, but we'll get to it later. After the special announcements.
Oh, you're talking. Okay. But you don't have anybody just to do a quick shot.
No. Okay. All right. Nate came out. He's got notes and everything.
I know. My gosh.
he's all prepared.
So that's the only shout out I had. We'll get to the announcements here. Of course, coming up. Man, this is coming up. What is it? It's 3 weeks from yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. Or two. Yeah. We will be part of the Hillbilly Horror Stories live show on Saturday, May 20th from 6 to 10. It's going to be at the Boone County Jail Distillery in Lebanon, Indiana. Tickets are still on sale. They can be purchased for only $25 at the Eventbrite website. And, of course, we're going to be there, and along with the Tragedy of Cinema podcast, that will be a part of it. So we cannot wait to see Jerry and Tracy and James and Kyle and
awesome.
Hang out in a haunted jail, right?
Right. I'm still not sure if I'm going to make it out of there, though. They might be staying permanently, right?
I heard once they put the orange jumpsuit on, Sean, you're over, man.
You're toast.
You're right. Bread and water.
Chain you to the wall.
That's right. So come out and see us there on May 20th at the Hillbilly Horror Stories live show. And then second, the last announcement, we are, of course, are doing our own live show. It is called the Keeping It Creepy 2023 live show. It will be Saturday, October 7th from 5 to 9, and it's going to be at the Ellis Park train station in Danville, Indiana. And the tickets for that can be purchased for only $15 at the Eventbrite website. We're going to have special guests. So we're going to have fiction and paranormal author and publisher Micah Campbell, who's been on the show a couple of times. He is the owner of the publishing company Anatolian Press. And then we're going to have paranormal investigator and good friend Erin Egnatz, and she has been on our show a couple of times, of Hauntings Across America. They're both going to be there. Sharing some stories and all that good stuff. And then we'll have merch for sale, good food, music, and creepy fun. So come out and see us October 7th from 5 to 9.
So that's going to be so much fun.
It's going to be, you know, while we're less than 5 months going on. Let's see, what is it? What's next month? May. Yeah. So
May. Yeah.
No, but so almost 5 months.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
What's tomorrow?
Yeah. I know. I'm May. Like, because I'm thinking about when people, yeah, that's right. So tomorrow's May 1st, at least while we're recording. So. It's going to be just 5 months away. Isn't that weird?
I think the dynamics between us and then Erin and Micah are going to we've said it before, but it's going to be epic.
Mm-hmm. Epic is a good choice of word.
That's right.
Yeah, Micah's awesome, and Erin, and we love both of those people, and they're going to be fun, and I know they're going to have, you know, Erin's been on so many investigations, and Micah with being a fictional writer and publisher and all that, and so I know they're going to bring their game. Mm-hmm. Their A game. That's what they need.
Of course, yeah.
A game?
Or a game. Well, no. We're just bringing a game. We're just, a game. I'm not sure how we're going to do. We're going to bring our C game.
A creepy. Game, B game, Z game. What is?
It is going to be a good time.
Oh,
it's going to be a good time. So get your tickets.
Guarantee that.
Get your tickets.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say it enough. Get your tickets.
What was that?
Get them.
Yeah.
I missed that last part.
Sean would say, go get you some.
Go get you some.
There you go. Well, that's all we got for the announcements and shout-outs. So,
yes.
Mr. Nate.
Yes.
Do you have something special for
I do.
The creepies? Okay.
It's I'm turning a, it over it's to you. It's a special shout-out, as I said earlier. A gentleman that I had the pleasure of working with these past few weeks as the supervisor of the maintenance crew on second shift at GM in Marion. His name is Greg. And
hello, Greg.
We started talking about the podcast because we had some slow nights. And so he was like, oh, you do a podcast? Yeah. What about, you know, paranormal, creepy stuff, you know, a little bit of serial killer stuff here and there, you know, anything that's sort of creepy. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, well, I got some stories. I said, oh, right on.
That's what we like, right?
He's like, I've personally seen Satan.
Whoa. Like, that is not what I was...
You have my attention, Greg.
He's coming out strong.
You have our attention.
Wow,
yeah.
He didn't hold back. I mean,
no.
He's going... Okay. Satan.
Yeah.
Did he say Satan?
Satan?
Or Satan?
Satan.
Okay. I'm interested.
So, he told me the story, and then the next night I asked him, with your permission, can I tell these stories on our podcast? He was like, oh, yeah, I'd be tickled pink
awesome.
have you do that. I said, all right, awesome. Cool. So I did my best of recalling all the details, and I jotted down some notes to try to keep myself on track with all those details.
Mm-hmm.
So I can, and he has two stories, more or less, because after he told me that one, then he had another one, too.
Okay.
So this,
I'm ready.
Very cool. All right. He said, back when he was in college, they're studying for a test, and it was late at night. He got thirsty, so he went down there in the dormitory or whatever. He went down to the lobby, to the where the pop machines and stuff were, and got a soda. And I guess his friend that's in the same class, his dorm was on that lobby floor or whatever, the first floor. And he noticed his light was still on. It was like, you know, 11 o'clock at night. Excuse me. And so he's like, I'm going to go see his buddy's name was Bruce, I believe, if I recalled right. If it's wrong, I'm sorry, Greg. But so he's like, I'm going to go see if Bruce is up and studying for the same test, you know, see how he's doing. So he knocked on the door. Bruce answered. And they he went in. They were sitting there talking. And Bruce's roommate, his name is Rory, was asleep in his bunk. And so they're just sitting there talking. And Rory, before he got in, because they're all same fraternity or whatever, so Bruce asked Greg if, you know, he would help him get Rory into the same fraternity with him and all that kind of stuff. And he said, but just be warned that Rory is a seer. So he sees things, you know, sees future events and just, and he's like, okay, all right, that's fine, whatever. So they got him in and all that kind of stuff. Well, like I said, he was sleeping in his rack while they're sitting there talking, and Rory just out of the blue, like, sits up wide awake. And he goes, Greg, you need to go save Tony, which was like their fraternity head brother guy. Oh. I'm not sure.
Like president or something?
Yeah, whatever he was, yeah. And, but, I mean, he was up in the ranks of the fraternity or whatever. And he's like, no, you need to go find him and save him. And they're like, what are you talking about? He's like, he's going to meet someone tonight, and only you can save him. Nobody else can do this. You have to do this. I've seen it. So they're like, okay, so if I were to go find Tony,
where am I going?
Where am I going? Where is Tony? You know, I don't know where he's at. It's going on midnight. It's like Rory just goes, he's at the lake. Because there's a lake that they all went to from time to time just to hang out.
So he knew what that meant.
Campfires. And he's like, he's at the lake. And he's like, well, how do you know he's at the lake? He's like, I saw him in my dream. He's at the lake. You need to go to the lake now. And so he's like, well, even if I was going to go, I don't have a car. How am I going to get there? It's 20 miles away. And so Bruce was like, here, take my car. I was like, oh, isn't this convenient?
Mm-hmm. Great.
So he takes the keys and he's like, all right, if this is going to shut you up, I'll go see if Tony's at the lake. So he jumps in the car and sorry. And so as he's driving to the lake, he's like, I can't believe that they persuade me to go do this. You know, this is stupid, whatever. So then he finally gets to the lake, and it's like a sort of like a dirt road or whatever leading down to the lake. And as he's going through there, his headlights swept across because they came down to the lake. So the headlights were hitting the lake, and then it swept across the beach and everything to like a little parking area. Mm. So as he was making that turn to sweep over to the parking area, he sees Tony talking to a man in a suit at the edge of the lake on the beach.
Oh man.
And so he's like,
Satan.
Wow. Rory was right.
Yeah.
He's here.
So far.
He nailed like, it. Okay. So he parks. It's creepy. He goes walking up to Tony, and the other guy that was there, he like sort of like, oh well, I'll talk to you later. I'll see you later, whatever. Get a hold of me, and gave him a business card and continued walking down the beach. And so Tony's like, Greg, what are you doing here? He's like, Rory told me I need to come find you. And he told me you're at the lake. And he's like, I didn't tell anybody I was at the lake. Well, he knew you're at the lake, so here I am. He's like, who is that guy? He's like, oh, he's a... I ran into him out here on the beach, and he said he's just relaxing and just walking at the water's edge. And
in a suit.
In a suit. And he's like, well, where's his car? Nobody else is parked up here. He's like, oh, he said he parked over the hill over there, over by some thing. I can't remember if it was train tracks or something. He's like, yeah, he's parked up that way. What'd he want? Well, he didn't really say anything in particular. He gave me this business card, but, you know, when you pulled up, so, I mean, we didn't really get into, like, a deep conversation about anything. So then it was like I said, there's a spot there on the beach where they used to have or would do fires for overnight and stuff. He's like, let's go start a fire and just hang out and talk a little bit. So they went in there, got a fire going, and he's like, Greg, it dawned on Greg while they're sitting there talking that he's like, you know what? I only saw two pairs of footsteps out there. Tony's like, what are you talking about? It's like, well, I saw my footsteps and I saw your footsteps, but that third guy, I didn't see any footsteps from him. He's like, well, there has to be footsteps. He came from that other direction down there. There should be footsteps walking up to where we all met. So they walked over there. Nothing. Sure enough, there's no footsteps for him. Wow. It's just Greg's footsteps walking down there and Tony's footsteps where he is walking. So
I want to know what that business card says. Is that on there?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
We'll get there. So,
can't wait.
So, let's see. So the next day, you know, they go back to the college, get up, take the test, and they all agreed to meet after the test at the coffee shop there. So they got there. He's like, do you still have that business card? Tony's like, yeah, it's right here. So I has whatever the guy's name was, business address, and phone number. He says, I'm going to call this number. So Greg goes over there to the payphone, dials the number. Phone number's disconnected, not in use. It's like, well, that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, this address is pretty close. Why don't we just go over there? So they grab Bruce's car again. They drive over to the where the address is. It was like a strip mall type thing, like three different establishments, one building. Well, that address, it was for lease. It was empty. There's nothing in there. Hmm. There's an insurance guy next door. So they went in there to see if he knew anything about this guy. So they went in there and they're like, do you know who was renting this space over here or whatever? He's like, no, I don't recall what was renting it, but I own the building now. And it's up for lease. You guys want to rent it? He's like, no, we're just trying to track down because we had got this business card from this guy last night and this is the address. And he looked at it and he goes, yeah, I don't recognize that name, and that is the address. But, yeah, it's vacant. There's nobody there. And so he went back, I believe, at some point. I think Rory told him that when Greg had to go and find Tony, that, you know, he's going to make a deal with the devil.
Oh, that's why I was wondering, like, where is the devil? Like, how do they know?
Yeah. Because Rory told him.
Okay.
I missed that part in my chicken scratches.
That's all right. No, I was...
So, you know, they tried to track him down. They couldn't find him. Oh, nothing. Man. And Rory told him that, you know, he was going to make a deal with the devil. And that was the whole why he had to go find him.
Creepy.
So he stopped him.
Yeah.
And I think Greg said that Tony was in school to be a minister.
Ah, cool. That is,
That's heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to, yeah. You know.
It's hard to process.
It is.
And you only saw 2 out of 3 footsteps.
And mm-hmm.
So in the dark, does he remember kind of what that guy looked like then? Does he, like, is it a vivid or just kind of like, he's
no.
kind of.
Was the guy a hothead? No. No, that's a good
story.
Looks
like Al Pacino.
That's why I was just kind of curious how, that, like, why would he say, well, it's Satan, but yeah. No, yeah. But that's, yeah.
Yeah, I believe Roy told him.
Though. Okay.
So he's going to make a deal with the devil.
And then the guy
so
was there.
He has to assume that that guy was Satan.
Or the demon or something.
Yeah.
That's scary. That's scary.
Isn't that weird though? Why would it's funny that, you know, here's a business card to nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
It's strange.
And then even at that's that, weird. I mean, if he was, would something answer if Tony would have called?
Right. That was wondering
yeah,
that
right.
too. Yeah.
Right. So just because of the wrong guy. I don't know. That's
creepy.
Cool. Yeah. Very cool story.
So then.
You say you got another one?
Yeah. His second story.
All right.
Was when he was a young boy. He was at home with his mom and his father passed away when he was younger. So he wasn't there he had passed away already. But he was in his room. It was a hot summer day. He had his windows open, you know, no AC or nothing back in those days. And so he's laying there. And he started hearing horses trotting on the street. And their neighbor had horses. So he's like, oh, great. Horses got out. They're going to get hit by a car. So he went tell his mom. He said, Mom, you know, neighbor's horses are out. They're on the street. I can hear them. We need to call them and, you know, see if they need our help to get them wrangled up, get them back in the fence. So she's like, hold on. Before we call them, let's make sure, you know, that's what's going on. So they went back to his room and they're sitting there. And she could hear him too. And, you know, that they're coming towards the house. And it was a full moon night. I haven't coughed all day. I swear I haven't.
Well, when you're talking, you're doing the only talking right now. It makes, I know, it happens.
Dries your throat out.
Yeah. So they're sitting there listening to it, and it kept, and then he was like, you hear that, Mom?
Mm-hmm.
I hear a wagon. These horses are pulling a wagon. She's like, yeah, I hear it too. Squeaking of the wheels and everything. And so it was a full moon night, and there's one section out in front of their house between the trees and stuff where they could see the road lit up by the moon. So they sat there, and they heard the trotting and the wagon get in front of their house and then start going away from the house down the street, but they never saw
anything. But couldn't see it, yeah.
Uh-uh. And so they're sitting there while they're older, reminiscing about this. It came up in conversation. Uh-huh. Well, then his older brother, he's like, yeah, I heard the same thing, but going the opposite direction. I was across the street at night doing night fishing over in the pond over there. And as I was coming back home, I was like, oh, I hear horses in a wagon. He said, so I sat there and listened. And they went right by me, but I never saw anything.
That's so weird. Yeah. They never had that again? It's just that one time?
As far as he told me, yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. But then he also said that their house was haunted, too.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, yeah, here's story number 3.
Oh.
Their story.
Nice.
A bonus story.
My
I like
favorite
it.
Number.
Yeah,
so
he was, he was very, a lot of information from Greg. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was a nice conversation that night.
Yeah, I bet.
So, yeah, he said his grandpa built the house. And so,
did he say like what year or anything, or like what?
No, he didn't say what year, but it's up there in Marion. And he said that he was laying in his room reading a book, and he could hear something coming up the hallway to his room. But then it never came into the doorway, but he could still hear it like coming down the hallway. So he jumps out of bed and looks down the hall, and nothing's there. Hmm. Like, okay. So he lays back down, starts reading his book again, starts hearing it again. So did the same thing, waited a little bit, jumped out of bed and looked down the hall, and there's nothing there. So he knew that it was haunted for a while, mm-hmm. ever since he was little.
Hmm.
So then later on, his first wife, I believe, they didn't live there anymore. His mom still owned it, and they're renting it out, and it's in between renters. Mm. So she wanted to paint a couple rooms and that kind of stuff. And so his first wife was like, "Hey, I'll go over there in the evening, and man, you know, you go to work, and your mom doesn't have to be there. I'll just go there. I'll start painting the bathroom or whatever, and I'll get knock some of this stuff out." And he's like, "That's fine, but I just want to warn you that the house is haunted." She's like, "Oh, that's it's fine. No big deal. Whatever."
Famous last words.
Yeah. So she goes there, and she's painting the bathroom, so she closes the door to paint behind the door. Starts hearing footsteps coming up the stairs. So she opens up the door, nothing there. So then she remembered that Greg told her that, you know, the house was haunted. And so she introduced herself, said, "Hey, I'm so-and-so. I'm Greg's wife. I'm just here to help his mom paint some of the rooms, and I don't mean you no harm, and I'll get done, and you know, I'll leave.
You stay here."
nothing bugged her the rest of the night.
Oh, really?
No more noises, no nothing.
That's weird.
So after telling me all these stories, Greg told me, he's like, "I'm pretty sure that all the footsteps and, like, you know, we'd be downstairs hearing footsteps upstairs, be upstairs hearing something run downstairs or come up the stairs."
I know who you're going to say.
He's like, "I'm pretty sure it's my grandpa."
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Because nothing was malevolent.
Yeah, right. You know,
nothing.
Nobody's getting hurt.
You know, jump scared or nothing. Right. He just heard noises.
Oh, that's cool.
He says, "I'm pretty sure it's my grandpa."
I like that.
He's still there.
Well, I would agree.
Very cool.
I would agree.
He has a team of horses out front and a wagon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. just
you shitty slickers.
That is a great story.
That's cool.
I like them all, but
thank you.
That was nice to end on a sweet story.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool, man. That's
Thank you for telling us to Nate, and Nate, thank you for telling those to us.
Yeah.
Is Greg going to listen? Is he, did you tell him?
Maybe. I gave him a card.
What do you mean, maybe?
He was making a deal with the
devil. He was interested.
Making a deal with the devil over here.
No. You say, "Hey, you know, I thought maybe at least listen to this one." Since you're reading his stories, but that's all right. Well, if you listen, Greg, thank you. If not, well, thank you still.
Thanks. Thank you still.
No,
those are cool.
They're great.
Went from a really scary, creepy to a very sweet one.
Mm-hmm.
And one in the middle. That's wild.
Yeah, I could have sat there and talked with him all night.
I bet. How old is he? Like, I mean, like, what?
He's probably mid-60s.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's what I figured. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Just sound like, yeah. Cool. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Well, I don't know who else it would be, probably, as far as the footsteps.
Mm-hmm.
The, you know,
well, I mean, his grandpa built the house, and there's a lot of love, sweat, and tears.
Yeah, his wife is
so
saying,
many
hey,
good stories out know, there, though.
Just painting. I'm just painting.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like everybody has a story, at least one, if not multiple.
Yes.
But, and they're good, and we love to hear them.
Well, and there's, I can't remember this gentleman's name, but he was one of the upper management guys for the company I was working with. And same thing. I was like, "Oh, Nate has a podcast," and, you know, got in the whole thing. He's like, "You know, my wife and my two boys, we lived at a house one time, and I was sitting there trying to settle down for the night, and I heard footsteps go running down the hall and into the kitchen." I was like, "Oh, that's it. I'm blistering somebody's butt because they're supposed to be in bed, you know?"
Yeah.
Then he goes running in there, and nothing.
Everybody's
nothing.
Asleep.
Goes and checks. Boys are both in bed, sleeping. He's like, "Huh. Well, I definitely heard steps."
Wise guy, eh?
So he's like, I think there's a lot to that stuff. He's like, "Yeah, that's why we have the podcast."
That's right.
It's just really interesting to hear all these stories and
personal
accounts.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I had a weird, I haven't said this yet. Obviously, we just happened last Saturday, but when at the Indiana State Sanatorium, and I still try to keep checking my brain, but you came up behind me, Todd, when we were coming out of the power station, and I was standing there, and you're like, "Whoa, what's wrong?" And I had out of the corner of my eye, I saw somebody sitting on the bench that was just outside, and I looked over because there were several people there. I mean, there's a lot of people running around, so I thought somebody was just sitting there, like taking a break, and I was going to just kind of acknowledge them or see who it was or anybody we knew. And I looked over and I said, "I swore somebody was sitting on that bench, broad daylight, right?"
Oh, okay,
and,
I do.
And you were like,
"You did, yeah."
There could have been, but I saw. But again,
at
it's one of those
time,
things. Is your mind playing tricks on you?
Maybe not.
And yeah, you never
know.
They
say that you. pick up more stuff in your peripheral.
Right. And that's what, and, but as soon as I looked over, I'm like, there's nobody sitting there. So I was thinking, all the things you think, you know, like, it's just my mind playing tricks on me. But it really was, it's something that I stopped. You noticed that mm-hmm. something was like, what are you looking at? I'm like, just a weird happening. But
you know how many times I do that at the place I clean for at the Central State Hospital, all that. And it's always a peripheral. I'm like, okay. And I'll look and there's nobody there. And then I'm like,
but you said you felt like something there.
I tell you that Olivia went and helped me clean last week. Hmm. Yeah. So I just wanted some dad daughter time. And, mm-hmm. and plus she could help me get it done faster. Mm-hmm. And then she always likes to earn extra money. So she went with me and I said, I did tell you this is the place that's supposed to be haunted, right? She goes, what? I said, anyway. And so I was talking to my cousin who her and my aunt came in to visit my mom and us. Mm-hmm. It's my mom's sister and my cousin. Anyway, so it was Sunday. They were heading back Monday to Tennessee. Anyway, I was talking to her about the Central State and I was describing and all that. And I was telling her about the first time when Elijah, like the cord mm-hmm. pulled out, and I'm like, mm-hmm. I had enough slack and Elijah couldn't have made it there and back. And I would have heard him, seen him. And I was just telling her, but like, so Olivia's in the car the whole time. She's like, oh, great. And I said, oh yeah. And then there's a time I think I saw somebody in the, you know, I was in the break room, you know, and I'm like, there was nobody else there. It wasn't me seeing my own mm-hmm. reflection. And, Olivia's like, oh, great. But, you know, she was, well, anyway, I would, not on purpose, but she'd be like vacuuming or she was one time in the break room. she had her back to me. Oh my gosh. I go, hey, baby. She jumped out of her skin. She's like, oh, you scared me. I said, sorry. I really didn't do it on purpose. And then I did it maybe two or three times. Not on purpose. But she was a little antsy, a little jumpy. Well, you know, mm-hmm. but. So I all the time though, I'm like, man, I swear I saw somebody move. Or I saw something, you know, and mm-hmm. it's not there. I mean, who mm-hmm. knows? But yeah, Olivia wasn't. She goes, oh, now you tell me. I'm already in the car.
She'd never come back.
This will be the last time.
Yeah. Yeah. This one. Yeah. Those are good stories, man. Those are good. Thank mm-hmm. you. Thank you for sharing those. I like them.
Yeah.
And real quick, you know what? I want to give a shout out real quick. I'm going backwards. I'm going to give a shout out to Dylan of Grand Appliance
in
Avon.
Yep.
He came out and we bought a new dishwasher 2 weeks ago mm-hmm. and he got it fixed because we had a few things that we needed anyway, but he's really interested. He said he's a conduit. Mm-hmm. He has some orbs flying through him and around him and all the stuff. And he's going to the Indiana State Sanatorium. I think it was next week or week after. His wife and him and his buddy, they're into it. So I gave him a card and some bracelets, and he said he'd, you know, try to reach out on Instagram. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Dylan was so professional, nice. Knew his stuff. He was awesome. So that's why I want to give him a shout out, is how he helped us with the dishwasher, and he was great. But hey, he's a creepy now.
Yay.
Heck yeah.
So
that's awesome, Dylan.
There you go. So shout out to Dylan. And now, Sean.
Yes.
What are we going to talk about?
We are going to first say who's where the credit lies on this, and this is Nate's choice, right?
Mr. Nate.
That's right.
We are going to talk about Haunted Italy.
Haunted Italy.
Italia, huh?
Yeah, I started looking around. Saw, obviously, there's a lot of stuff there in Italy.
That's right.
So instead of just...
the old country.
Yeah, picking one little spot, I just... I figured we can just hit little information of a bunch of spots.
Are we doing this in mob boss style? Is that what we're... Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are we talking about this? It does make me...
I'm chicken and parmesan.
I'm sure there's some bigger spots over there where we can just devote to one show. But
I've got stories. I'm ready to go.
So I figured we'd just... Hit a little bit of Haunted Italy.
This is
I
fun.
Like it.
I did see the Super Mario Brothers, by the way, and it made me, you know, this is going to put me in the mood for seeing it, which is a great movie, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
It's Mario. Awesome.
Yeah. The Mario Brothers. Yeah.
Hey, Luigi.
The save of the day.
What you talking about?
Let's go.
Yeah, they're making a pepperoni a pizza. Okay. All right.
They laid it on thick. I don't know if we want a foundation about Italy. Most people probably know Italy.
Well, let me tell you. It
looks like a boot.
It looks like a boot. And it's not in the United States.
It's not in the United States. It is in the middle of what? The Mediterranean?
Mediterranean.
Right? Yep. The Mediterranean.
I would say this. I don't think we need a foundation.
I don't think so either.
Because obviously it's not the typical story. Nate, it's your your topic pick. Why don't you start off with a story or something?
All right.
Let's start it off.
What's the matter for you?
Right. First one I'll touch on is, now this is Italy, and I'm not great with Italian.
You mean you just don't speak fluent Italian?
So let's say Martiri de Taranto?
Sure. We're going to go with that.
Sound good to me.
Sound good to me.
Sorry, I can't.
Okay, so it's...
I knew it.
This is a church constructed in the 11th century by the Normans in Otranto, a city in the... and you guys can correct me at any time. Apulia, southernly province. You will notice the exposition of the bones and skulls of 813 Otranto saints killed while the nefarious Turkish slaughter in 1480 in the Chapel of the Dead.
Mm. So it's the Church of the Dead, right?
Yes.
They were beheaded too, I think. Right?
I believe so. Woo. Yeah. Displayed.
I love it.
As well, in a glass cabinet of the shrine is the rock upon which these grisly actions were supposedly played.
Good grief.
On the head of that, there's also the wicked tomb suggestive of a prison that travelers can brave. Hmm. Whatever that means. I'm not sure.
It's going on the list. That's all I know. You had me at Church of the Dead.
But yeah, you look at the walls and stuff, and it's skulls and bones and, you know, embedded in the walls.
It's macabre.
Very macabre, yeah. Sean, write Italy down.
Just circle it on a map.
Just the whole country. Italy.
We can just walk around and look at stuff.
Check mark.
Yeah, just the whole country. No, that's creepy. Yeah.
So, yeah, Chapel of the Dead.
Chapel of the Dead. You had me at Chapel of the Dead.
Of the Dead.
That's cool. Awesome.
So you said they're beheaded by the Turkish?
I think that's what, it was in the
this one doesn't go in as much detail as probably others. So
I couldn't have pronounced it any better than you, though.
I think every time I pronounced it, I said it differently.
So one of those has got to be correct.
There's somebody in Italy going, he still didn't get it
right. Hey, I talk like Buckshot, you know. just throw it out there. I'm going to hit something.
Shoot from the hip. That's very cowboy.
We're going to call him Buckshot Nate. All right, that's good. Funny. Good way to start. All right, Sean, go ahead.
I have the haunted Ca d'Ario in Venice. They say Venice is one of the most haunted cities in all of Italy. And actually, they said it in
the old country.
Of course, in the world and Europe, but they say that it is very haunted there. It's got a lot of history. But built in the 15th century, the Ca d'Ario building is known as one of the most haunted buildings in Venice. It was originally owned by the Giovanni d'Ario, who lost his son to a murder and his daughter to suicide while they lived in the house. There were two more murders and suicides in Ca d'Ario, and the 13 successive owners have all died mysteriously. I would say don't live there. Architecturally beautiful, Ca d'Ario is home on edge.
I'm just going to stand outside.
That's right. Yeah, right. I'll be outside.
Go ahead.
Looks beautiful.
Very dangerous. You go first. It's a home on the edge of the Canal Grande. Locals refer to it as the House of No Return. So, because of these eerie and mysterious deaths that have occurred to anyone who has owned the building. Yeah, I don't think I would. Yeah, let's not put that on the list.
Mm-hmm.
From afar.
Well, I say
look at it from a boat.
Yeah. Put Italy on the list, but then we'll just subtract
a couple of them.
Not this place in Italy, but this place in Italy. You know, not this place. Not so much this place, but yeah, that's creepy. Yeah, I don't think that's a good place to go. Very good. I've got I was thinking about doing a mini on this place, and we could. Just a quick little.
Is this an island?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. The Paveglia Island. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of it. The first time I heard this about 3 years ago. Yeah. Never heard of it until I watched a YouTube video. And again, what's funny is like when we do this podcast and it seems like we're pretty consistent and you're looking at something like some type of topic or doing some research and you come across something totally different. Mm-hmm. Like that's just kind of associated, or they say, oh, check this out. And that's how I heard about this place, and very creepy. So
you're talking tapestry.
Tapestry. Paveglia Island in Venice again. The island, considered to be Italy's most haunted place, was initially a quarantine station. This is from the Travel Channel. In the 18th century, many died during this time, with mass graves recently discovered. From 1922 to 1968, the building served as a hospital for the elderly and mentally ill. There were rumors that lobotomies and other such experiments were carried out by the hospital's director. He later committed suicide, rumored to have been haunted by the ghost of his victims, who remain today, and a film called The Plague Doctor was made about the events. This hospital closed in 1968 and was later made off-limits to visitors. However, in 2016, a group of people managed to sneak onto the island. When the night fell, a presence haunted them. Their screams were heard by a passing boat, and they were rescued. So you're really not supposed to go there.
You're not.
It's supposed to be off-limits, and you can't get arrested. But that's kind of... kind of cool that they snuck on there, but then like they had to be rescued.
You wonder if they got any good stories from what happened.
Yeah,
what was causing the scream.
Yeah, so that's just we can maybe do a little or a mini sometime.
Mm-hmm.
More, because there's got to be more stories.
Oh yeah, get into it more detail.
The Paveglia Island. So yeah,
wow. There you go. I love it.
Alrighty.
All right, I have the haunted Capuchin catacombs in Palomero.
Ooh.
It's not enough that the catacombs is a burial crypt, but it is known for its scary and haunted atmosphere because of the 8,000 mummies that line its walls, and varying with some of them morbidly set up in different poses.
Oh, nice.
The crypt is located off the mainland in Palermo, Sicily, and was originally meant for the monks of the Capuchin Monastery, but eventually other people of status were allowed to be buried there. Hmm. Where did it get its sinister reputation, though? It's because many tourists reported hearing whistling and whispering, and even returning to a room to find that the skeletons have moved into different positions.
Oh, that's cool. I like it. I like it a lot.
Cool and creepy.
And creepy. Kind of like us. We're cool and creepy. Oh,
that's right.
We're
says
creeped
us,
out.
So. Says us. Don't ask our kids.
That's right. I like that one. That was good.
Yeah.
Very good. Sean, you got one?
We're going to Rome. Rome is obviously one of the most haunted places. They say, which is interesting, because the Vatican is there, and then the Vatican... I've listened to all kinds of, sometime we'll have to talk about just the Vatican, because it's got so many different secrets and all kind of stuff underneath. It gets into conspiratorial stuff, but you know, Catholicism and Rome and the Vatican all have such deep histories, but it's so haunted, right? So this one is the Haunted Museum of Purgatory in Rome, Italy. The Museum of Souls in Purgatory is located in the small church of Sacra Cuore Suffragario.
Nailed it.
Suffragario near Castle. So let's try it again. Near Castle Saint Angelo in the center of Rome. They're going to appreciate that we're trying. It alleges to have recorded various instances of souls trapped between heaven and hell, trying to draw the attention of the living to ask them for prayers and help them pass into heaven. You can see evidence of purgatory and the paranormal, such as photos of imprints on sleeves and handprints burned onto the pages of prayer books. That creepy cool.
Mm-hmm. Again, this creepy cool.
Yeah, I like it.
I like it. I like it a lot. Here is a. They're saying it's the most haunted city in Italy. Calabararo, Calabaro.
You nailed it too.
Calabararo. No.
A for effort.
Yeah. If Italy's listening, I apologize. We apologize. I'm trying my best. It starts out like Columbia, you know, Calabararo. I'm going to say that. Calabararo. Anyway, all right. So it says, just saying the name of this town out loud is said to bring bad luck. So there you go.
Way to go. We don't need that.
Hopefully you're misspeaking it and it doesn't.
Exactly.
Know.
I probably nailed it.
The more you say
the one time I nail it, it's this time.
The more you say it, the more it sounds made up.
Yep, right.
By the way.
Okay, here we go. The bucolic town is nestled atop a bed of rolling green hills, viewing the settlement from a distance reveals a postcard perfect view of this sliver of Italy's countryside. But as many Italians are aware, there are dark forces festering within the picturesque scene. Locals refer to Calabararo as that town Oh, my boy. Chalu Pace in the local dialect. Okay, I 0 for 2. Because saying its name is believed to bring bad luck. As such, the town is also known as the Town of Misfortune. Mm. It is said that the curse is as old as the village itself, but it wasn't until the 20th century that the evil was fully awakened, thanks to a lawyer and a witch. I had you at witch, didn't I? Mm-hmm. The lawyer who never lost a case once exclaimed in court that if his statements were false, the room's chandelier would come crashing down. And sure enough, crash down it did, earning the town a reputation as a place of bad omens. Around the same time, townspeople and those from neighboring villages began to believe that some of that town's women were actually witches who practiced dark magic. In the 1950s, people especially feared La Catre, a wrinkled elderly woman who claimed was a sorceress, anthropologist that began visiting the town to investigate its mysteries. But according to local lore, they too soon fell victim to freak accidents and illnesses. And lastly, the people of that town grew to accept their home's reputation as an unlucky village, and rather than dwelling on their misfortune, turned it into a source of tourism. Now every summer, thousands of people come to revel in the town's sinister glory. During the celebrations, villagers dress as witches, wizards, and various forms of supernatural beings, and they perform plays, and tourists are encouraged to bring protective amulets to ward off any evil forces prowling the streets. Put that on the list.
Definitely.
That's where we go. So there you go. Collaboraro.
We may not be able to say it, but we can talk about them.
That's right. Oh, great. I just brought bad luck on us again.
Way to go. And that's, we do not need that.
That sounds pretty wild, though. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had you lawyers and witches, right? Uh-huh. No offense, lawyers.
All right, I got one. The Castillo de Finis.
Adverb.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
In Asta.
Asta.
All right. Now owned by the regional council, the castle once belonged to the Finis branch of the Lords of Chalant until 1716, when it was sold to Count Baldassiar Castellar of Luzio Pensania.
Wow. You
a lot of vowels.
And the old country is now tuning out.
These idiots.
These guys are there, suck.
They're
not even Italian.
Then it was turned into a rural dwelling with the ground floor rooms transformed into stables. And the first floor was used as a barn. In 1895, it was purchased by Alfredo de Andrade.
Andrade?
who started restoration works that were completed by Misternio. At first glance, it may seem like any other castle, but visitors claim that it is haunted, as they have heard voices from the restricted area of the castle. Allegedly, the voices belong to spirits trying to communicate with humans to help them with their unfinished tasks.
Whoa.
I'm glad this is the run-through. This isn't the real thing, right?
I was laughing because I'm like, Nate, you really put yourself through the ringer there.
I was going to totally...
Yeah, it would probably help if I proofread first.
I was going to...
It's actually kind of... I mean, I don't do any better.
I figure it's funny, so why not?
Oh, look, it took me 18 times to say Kalala Burra. I don't know if I still said it wrong.
Probably
right or wrong, whatever. Yeah. No, that's good, though. It's creepy. No, they were at least nice. They were just helping with the tasks. That's good.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah,
I've got the Haunted Witches Village of Turora in Liguria.
I'm not allowed to pick topics anymore.
There goes my topic. That was my story.
Is that yours? I told you. Tell me what it is.
Go ahead. I did. I just said
did you
it
say that?
10 seconds.
Oh, here. I'll go to the next one.
No. Read sure? it. Read okay. it. Yes.
Yeah. No. All right. Many legends and stories spur from natural tragedies, such as famines like... The two-year famine that occurred in 1587 in the village of Triora in the region of Liguria. Like many things at that time, the famine was blamed on witchcraft, and a group of women were blamed for it. During the witch trials, 300 women were accused, and 50 of them were tortured, and some died during the interrogations. The Trioria Museum is dedicated to the women who were tortured and killed, and records of their confessions are on exhibit. If that isn't a chilling story, we don't know what is. I think it's funny that there's so many witches from this area. This is not where, when I think about witches, I don't think about Italy, you know?
No, I usually think like, like Germany or, Britain.
Or England, yeah, yeah. Right.
England,
yep.
Yeah.
Those yeah.
I didn't know.
Or America.
Or, yeah, or, yeah. Here, Salem. And yeah, you're right. I like
that. When I think of Italy, I think of the Inquisition, which is probably not very nice. I think of Rome and I think of Venice, and then I think of like Mussolini and, you know, World War II and all that kind of stuff, you know.
I think of chicken parmesan.
I think of spaghetti. Of course.
A chicken of parmesan. That's my favorite.
Big spaghetti.
Yeah, a lot of witch stories. Interesting.
Alfredo.
Yeah, I love chicken. Elijah likes it. I've got one here. This is, again, from ConnollyCove.com. This, I hopefully I can say it right. Via Clara Ferrara. Oh, man, that's good.
Ooh.
Via Clara Ferrara. The Via Clara in Ferrara is one of the creepiest and most haunted places in the country. The fog that usually surrounds it also contributes to the eerie atmosphere as well. It is said to look so frightening that people usually avoid even walking near it. The story surrounding the Via states that a girl or woman named Clara was buried alive there by her father. That's nice. That's where the story ends, because no one knows why she was murdered, although that did not stop people from speculating. Some say that she was clairvoyant, and this scared her father to such an extent that he decided to kill her himself. Others say that she had, others say that she had an affair with a servant. Passersby, when there are any, reported hearing Clara crying out and screaming for help. Oh, Clara, it's terrible.
Hmm.
Her dad did her in.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's never good.
No, it's not good.
That was one I had in the queue.
Oh, I read yours.
That's fine.
Well, at least I said which one I did, and
yeah,
it's
not. Sorry. I'm not really. I'm not really that sorry.
Across the street. Well, the weirdo across
the way. It's me.
Yeah. That's
but right. I found no, this one.
Ooh, I got a good one.
Evil Tower, Castillo.
No, I had that. No, I'm
de
just kidding.
Pompeii.
I'm totally kidding. I just kidding.
If its name isn't enough to rouse fear. Mm. Then perhaps its story will. Mm. The story goes that a woman named Matilda allegedly killed her lover after a night of lovemaking. It is said that she was buried in this tower, and her spirit continues to live on and roam this creepy tower. Even today, people claim that they have come across her ghost, Matilda, in the tower.
Hmm. It's a good movie. It's a cute
Matilda,
movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kids watched it 1,000 times.
Nothing to do with Italy there.
Hmm. No, it doesn't have anything. Yeah.
Devil's Monk Monastery. I love the title's fantastic. As the story goes, one day a sacred traveler stopped by a monastery to ask for help, and he was fed and given shelter. He felt so indebted to them for the warm welcome he received that he decided to work in the monastery to pay them back for their kindness. As the years went by, he decided to become a monk, and after he took his religious vows, he fell in love with a woman. Things did not go smoothly afterwards, as he started having doubts that she was a witch, and he began torturing her to extract a confession. This sounds like normal, you know, love story, right?
Yeah.
The woman died as a result of the torture, and he eventually lost his mind, changed his appearance, and started to scare everyone around him. His actions became so erratic that all the monks and most of the villagers abandoned the village because they suspected him of committing murders. Yeah, this guy's crazy. one day, a lost homeless couple asked for help, and the monk welcomed them with open arms. However, the next day, the man was welcomed by the monk, walked into the village with his skull broken, and the woman was nowhere to be found. The king ordered the monk to be hanged, but it was said that his ghost is still wandering the monastery, scaring all those who come near. What in the world, man?
Yeah, no kidding.
Isn't that crazy?
Hmm.
I shall torture you!
Those monks, I tell you what.
You gotta watch them.
Well, I mean, I guess that most of them are, you know, they just got a bad rap for that.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of the famous ones, like the, what was it, the Black Monk of, what is
Pontefract.
That one? Pontefract.
Yeah, yes, I remember that
Pontefract.
One.
Pontefract, yeah. And then, well, then, but a good monk is Art Monk. He's retired from the Washington Redskins. He's a Hall of Famer, wide receiver.
That's another good
then,
monk.
And, yeah. And then Monk, the TV series.
Oh, yeah, that was good. Oh, I forgot about that show.
Anyway, yeah, that's a good one. Good story. All right. I've got this one. This is, comes from ItalyMagazine.com. How about that? Via De Vecchi.
Ooh.
Italy's most haunted house. Or as they say, located in the mountains east of Lake Como, Via De Vecchi, more commonly known as the Red House, is a 19th century mansion built by Count Felice De Vecchi in the tiny hamlet of Bindo. For decades now, the historic, once opulent building has been derelict, abandoned to total degradation. Legend has it that a ghost lives in the Via and that it plays the piano every night. Count De Vecchi was the head of the Italian National Guard and a patriotic hero for his role in the 5 days of Milan, which was an insurrection in 1848 that led to Milan's liberation from Austria. Enamored by the Valsesina Valley near Lake Como, he ordered the construction of the Via between 1854 and 1857. This was to serve as his summer residence. The Via is located within a 130,000 square meter park surrounded by woods. Its architecture was inspired by the Count's passion for Eastern culture. Now, get to the good stuff. According to one of the many legends associated with the Via, its decay began after the Count found his wife and daughter horribly murdered. Not true, though. The building was abandoned and fell into disrepair after De Vecchi's death. But in the 1920s, a cultist, here's our boy, Aleister Crowley, he spent a few nights at the villa and is said that his followers later used the house for satanic and, orgiastic rites and that murders and suicides took place there.
And drinking cat blood, right?
Mm-hmm. Now abandoned, the Red House's outer walls are covered with vines while inside. Frescoes and tapestries have been damaged by humidity or they've been vandalized. Lastly, in 2002, large boulders came falling down the mountain during an avalanche and stopped a few meters short of the villa, thus sparing it. Locals are not sure that was a good thing.
Right.
They're like, too bad it just didn't wipe it out.
So. Alistair was such a naughty boy. We talked about him before that. Mm-hmm. I think Mussolini is the one that finally kicked him out of that country.
Yeah, right.
You naughty, naughty boy.
All right. So the villa, I was calling it Villa De Vecchi. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Well, I have the Villa Magoni.
And the Magoni.
In Cona Fiera. Another abandoned home shrouded in mystery. Villa Magoni in Cona near Fiera has been empty for decades. Very little is known about the villa, who built it, or why it was abandoned. What adds to its mystery is the fact that all attempts to sell the house fell miserably for the longest time, but is now owned by the University of Fiera, which wanted to turn it into a research labs. Yet nothing has been done so far. Perhaps that is because of, here we go, La Meldizione de Villa Magoni.
I think it's good.
The curse of Villa Magoni, which sprang in the 1980s when four teenagers ventured into the villa and they heard children's voices coming from the opposite direction where they were and ran towards it. They found no one there until they saw an old woman behind one of the windows screaming at them in rage, ordering them to leave immediately and never return. The teens ran away in terror and were suddenly hit by a car.
Oh, gosh.
Three of them lost their lives.
Oh.
The fourth, who managed to return unscathed but terrified, is the one who told the story. Due to this tragic event, the town council of Cona had all the windows and doors of Villa Magoni walled up. But strangely, a week later, the window where the teens reported to have seen the old woman was open. Since then, many have said that they heard a woman whispering threateningly whenever they pass near the house.
Ooh.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, man. Poor kids.
Let's go find this place.
I think the more we try to pronounce these things, the better our Italian accent pronunciation gets. I think so. Mm-hmm. Maybe not mine.
My trick is Skip half the letters.
It makes it sound very Italian that way. Huh?
I'm thinking I'm going to try to find a story. It's like the Castle dei Fettuccini or something. No, I don't know. I could say every food, you know, most of the food items.
Mozzarella.
The mozzarella dei fettuccini.
I got one that this is a place I really would love to visit. I'm not sure I want to visit this place at night, but I definitely want to see it during the day. But it's the Colosseum. This is from an article, yeah. Amy's Crypt, which this is a really good article. But it's Ghost of the Colosseum, most haunted place in Rome. Of course, there's always the most haunted. The Roman Colosseum is one of the most recognizable landmarks in the world. Its imposing facade has stood proudly for thousands of years. Despite the Colosseum's weathered and worn appearance, the building is fashioned from the old true heart. Let's see. Is fashioned from hold the true heart and many truths of Romans ancient past. This is kind of weird. Sorry, Amy. The origins of the Colosseum date back to 72 AD when construction of the Grand Stadium began. Over the next 8 years, construction would continue in the Colosseum until it was finally finished. The Roman Colosseum was then opened to the public, purpose-built for the people of Rome. Its purpose was to satiate the entertainment needs of the Romans while keeping them in line with the current power's wishes, the Senate and all that good stuff, and the Caesars. It acted as a stage for public executions, hunting spectacles, and, of course, epic battles between gladiators. Blood was shed often within the confines of the Roman Colosseum, though an accurate representation of just how many deaths were experienced within the Colosseum is not known. Many speculate, and the number may range between 500,000 and 1 million human deaths. It says, Ghosts of the Colosseum. Countless staff, visitors, and passersby have reported many paranormal experiences at the Roman Colosseum. Apparition sightings are said to be very common. One of the most frequently seen apparitions is that of a Roman soldier. This lone guard is usually seen at night when the landmark has been closed to the public, still protecting the Colosseum. Others have been reported to sight the grouped apparitions of a full crowd in the stadium bleachers seen to cheer a long past spectacle before suddenly vanishing. So it's kind of, and then there's underground where they kept the prisoners before they have to go fight, and the animals and stuff like that.
I was going to ask you, had you seen the diagram, how they had those, mm-hmm. where they had the animals underground?
Yeah. So cool. Love the movie Gladiator anyway.
I've never seen
Crow.
It.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I heard it's great, but I just haven't known.
Love it. It's fantastic. The way they did the cinematography, the music, just the storyline. It's, mm-hmm. it's fantastic. It really is.
Yeah. I think that was like his first big movie where it really got his, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so.
Career started, mm-hmm. I think. Because that was, what, mid-late 90s? Or maybe early 2000s?
That sounds right. Yeah.
Something like that.
Something like that.
I had never heard of him until that movie.
But the Colosseum is just...
Yeah, I would go there at nighttime. I think it'd be
magical.
Awesome.
Yeah, I would. But would be expecting some haunting stuff.
Yeah, I think you would probably get everything there, you know, with all the deaths and the way they were...
You might even see it.
A lot of blood spilt.
Might see a Caesar or two. They say Julius Caesar and different Caesars, ghosts have been seen running around. I saw something about Mussolini too.
Yeah.
Caesar salad, right?
Yeah.
even around there's he has his own little tomb and stuff there.
Funny,
too. Gladiators 2000, by the way.
Oh, I think I have this correct. Funny fact: Caesar salad was invented in Mexico.
I heard it was Mexico, Canada. No, really though. It was Caesar
the salad dressing. I believe it was invented in Mexico.
Somebody's got to look that up just mm-hmm. while I'm ready to do my story. Sean, why don't you look that up? Or Nate. I'm interested in I don't know why. I don't even eat salad. I mean, I will every now and then, but it's not my favorite thing. Okay, so I have a botanical garden in Lucca, L-U-C-C-A, Lucca. This comes from ItalianBreaks.com. This is one of the most beautiful haunted places in Italy and was owned by the famous Lucida Manzi. The legend says that the Lucchese noblewoman was obsessed with her beauty and with her young lovers. She used to kill each one of them after a night of lovemaking by making them fall into a trapdoor with sharp blades beneath. She's like a black widow. Mm-hmm. In order to not lose her beauty, she sold her soul to the devil in exchange for another 30 years of youth. The legend also tells that if you visit the lake from the botanic garden and put your face down in the water, you can see Lucinda's expression as if she was looking in the mirror. In the moonlight night, it is believed that people may see the burning carriage driving underneath or crossing the garden.
Wow.
So kind of beautiful, but then creepy.
There you go. Here you go. Caesar salad, often or believed to have been created by Julius Caesar himself, but it wasn't. Caesar salad was invented in the early 1920s by Caesar Cardoni, an Italian chef who owned a restaurant in Tijuana, Mexico.
Okay, so it was an Italian chef, but
in Mexico.
Alrighty.
I think they had all the stuff, right?
See what you get creepies on this show? Up. You don't just get creepy stuff. You get...
edumacated.
You get a little bonus there. Bonus education.
That's right.
Bonus info.
Anchovies.
Yep. and anchovies.
That's one of the main ingredients in Caesar dressing.
Is it?
A lot of people don't know that.
I don't eat it.
Look at a bottle. It'll say anchovies in the ingredients.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I did not know that either.
A lot of people are spitting it out right now, saying, "I am never eating this again."
Yeah, I don't. I like just basic salad. I mean, I don't like it, but if I get like at a wedding reception or something, I'll eat it just to because I'm usually dying of hunger. Just give me some my basic lettuce and throw some whatever. But I don't like dressing or none of that. None of those anchovies.
Anchovies.
You like salad?
I like salad.
I love salad.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say anchovies. Anchovies are fine if I don't. Yeah, I wouldn't eat them on purpose. If it's mixed up in a dressing, I would.
Yeah, you never know.
No, I'm not for me. Anyway, moving on. Nate, why don't you end it on the last story you got?
Let's do this. At Montecontone. Let me try Italian. Montecontone.
See, usually, works better.
Yes. Hospital in Imola.
Ooh, hospital.
This hospital, established during Mussolini's reign, specialized in treating tuberculosis. Today, the hospital is haunted by the large number of who died there. One such haunting is of a woman soaked in blood. Allegedly, she was killed by her family, perhaps because of her illness and difficulty in caring for her. Along with this, the hospital has a general dark aura and has attracted many paranormal investigators. One such team, sorry for my shaky voice because I'm like trying to hold back coughs.
It's all right.
Sorry. It's fun. One such team explored an abandoned area of the hospital and encountered a young girl running through the hallways. Let's go there.
So it was a tuberculosis hospital?
Yes.
And then they think that the family killed her because they did not want to...
It was too difficult taking care of her.
Come on now.
How difficult can it be?
That's what they did, though. I mean, you know?
Yeah.
How many times have we read about where families or husbands would...
Turn a blind eye.
Well, I mean, but they would like take them to these hospitals just because they were sick or they just to drop them off and never see them again. Their kid, it's just... Because they want to deal with them. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Or they don't want to get sick themselves.
Yeah, right. Shame on them.
Hey, go way over there.
Yeah, or if they had some type of, I don't know, maybe some type of condition, they would take them to the mental hospitals. And, it's terrible. Anyway, well, thanks a lot. That's a good way to end it.
It is.
That was good. I liked it. That was fun.
Yeah.
I mean, my gosh, they had tons of stories. We could probably do four parts on this.
Oh, yeah.
All the accents and the talk of food was a lot of fun. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. And the creepy. Creepy is cool, too. But
yeah.
Creepy cool.
Dying for a pizza.
Right?
I had pizza before I came here. I had a pizza. And a pepperoni and a cheese. You just add the A on everything. And,
and then you sound like the Mario Brothers.
I'm having a cherry coke.
Super Mario.
Very good. I hope the creepies enjoyed that. Haunted Italy. Good job.
We've enjoyed bringing it to you.
I liked it. Yeah. I figured we'd have no problem finding stories.
Just trying to think outside the box. I don't think we've done anything from Italy, so let's do a bunch of them.
I do like how, talking about Julius Caesar's ghost and all that kind of stuff, they also said, the Roman Emperor Nero that, supposedly burned Rome while playing his violin or fiddle or whatever.
Yeah.
But they say those ghosts people would see them. But we always talk about, why aren't there ancient ghosts? And they're like, well, there was stories of ancient ghosts, actually, but we just don't really think about him as much in modern day,
Yeah. So. I mean, Caesar was crazy, but Nero, he was wackadoo.
He is, yeah.
Okay, well, so Sean, what do you got?
I have a middle-aged moment. This is one, I hear this song a lot because it's a newer song. One that I have not done the Foo Fighters before. So this is the Foo Fighters. This is Waiting on a War. It's the third and final preview from Medicine at Midnight from them. It's a multifaceted song. It's deeply personal meaning for Dave Grohl, remembering his own youth, which he spent under the dark cloud of a hopeless future due to the frightening political tension between the United States and the Soviet Union during the 1980s. Taking the decision inspiration from a conversation with his daughter, Harper, Grohl has had crafted this. She basically had said to him, you know, she's always thinking about all the things going on. You know, there's, you know, talk of aliens, and then there's war, and there's political tensions, and it, everything just seems like it's always at that, you know, apocalyptic mark. And he's like, he felt the same way, and told her, like, yeah, it's kind of how I felt. So he wrote this story to kind of give some, a little bit more hopeful feeling, you know, to some of the things that we all go through. So, waiting on a war. I've been waiting on a war since I was young, since I was a little boy with a toy gun. Never really wanted to be number one, just wanted to love everyone. Is there more to this than that? Is there more to this than that? Is there more to this than that? More than just waiting on a war. Every day, waiting for the sky to fall. Big crash on a world that's so small. Just a boy with nowhere left to go. Fell in love with a voice on the radio. Is there more to this than that? And so on and so forth. Is there more to this than just waiting on a war? Just waiting on a war for this and that. There's got to be more than this than that. Just waiting on a war for this and that. There's got to be more. I've been waiting on a war since I was young, since I was a little boy with a toy gun. Is there more to this than that? So just waiting on a war. And it builds up as he's talking about this, you know, the post-chorus, and goes into just that feeling. I think that we all feel like, you know, is there hope for tomorrow? Are we going to get through this? You know, there's just always that anticipation of when the world, or even sometimes our local lives, you know, we just feel like, gosh, is things going to get better, you know? And so I like the song, and I think it fits right in with the things that we deal with day to day. I've been thinking about, like, listen to a friend of mine. He was talking about how your world is really a 3-mile radius around you. Mm-hmm. And there's not, you don't, that's about what you can influence, or 3 miles around you at any one time. And that's your world. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't think about it or worry about it or try to influence, but if you try to take on too much, it's going to drive you crazy. Mm-hmm. So, but that's, so at least we can try to take care of our part of the world and making it better. So, we can't always worry about that war. The war might come, you know, things might just crumble everywhere else, but you try to hold up your part of it as best you can.
I like to do 3.3-mile radius. Mm-hmm. So I'm an overachiever.
He's an overachiever.
My world's 90 miles right now.
You just try not to, you try not to overlap your world into my world.
That's right. That was good. Good.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were going dark side, to be honest with you, if I had to.
Actually, I was going to go dark side. So here, let me go dark side. No, I was kidding.
I have no idea why.
I'm not prepared for dark side.
I just thought.
I'm not prepared.
Haunted Caesar or something.
Can't do it.
Very
I was
going to
do Caesar
very
salad.
Good, very good. Yeah. Is there a song called?
No.
Excellent. Sean, do you have the second announcements?
I just do, and they're right in front of me here.
That's something, how that works.
I do. It's funny. You can follow us on our social media accounts, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and Twitter. We have an email address, and it is at makopodcast@gmail.com. That's two A's. You can catch our weekly Tuesday Terror videos on our social media accounts. We are on all podcast listening apps, and make sure that you hit that subscribe button. Give us a 5-star rating review. Leave a review if the app allows. Share your podcast with friends, family, coworkers, and anyone else you can. Word of mouth means everything. Mm-hmm. We sell cool looking merch, so go get you some. We also offer some sponsorship opportunities of all different types. Individuals and businesses are welcome. It's another way for you to support us. And the money goes right back into the show. Please email us or reach out to one of us for more information.
Excellent. Excellent. Excellent.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I aim for.
Yeah. Excellent in an average way. No.
Oh.
Just kidding. I'm going to turn to my man Nate here. Nate.
It's over. That's a wrap.
That's what we need. We need some Italian music. That's a wrap.
They're so not going to be happy with us in Italy or.
You know what? This was a fun
New York.
I do like the. We have had Italy before.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll have them. Like, if they try again, I don't think it's going to last. But, you know, whatever.
It's all in good fun.
That's right. We really tried to really read those words and names, and
we tried.
I mean,
we really tried so hard.
That's like, oh man. I mean, I can barely read English and names.
Yeah, that's my typical problem.
Yeah, Smith.
Smythe.
Castle Smith.
Smither.
Smither? Yes, me. Yeah. Excellent. Thank you, Nate, for that. Yeah. We want to thank our creepies for listening to episode 112. Can you believe that? I was typing up our show flow notes, and I can't believe it took us forever to get to 100. Mm-hmm. It's like it took us 100 episodes to get to 100. Now we're at 112.
Now we're sailing.
Now we're just smooth sailing. Well, sailing. I don't know about smooth sailing. Yeah. But thank you for listening to our discussion on the haunted Italy. And Nate is your sound engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean. And we are middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy.